Good morning. So my background is not in case management, as you just heard. So when I first started working on my MPH, Dr. Lori Meschke kind of took me under her wing and gave me the opportunity to do this work with her. So I have learned a lot about the subject area, and I'd like to share some of our findings with you guys today. I'd like to also say that this work was made possible by a cooperative agreement from the Center for Substance Abuse Prevention, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And I don't have anything to disclose. So women in need of substance abuse treatment face many unique challenges and barriers. Some of those are listed here. Histories of sexual and physical abuse are common among these women. Mental and physical health issues are also common. They deal with parenting issues, whether it be child care or just maintaining custody of their children. They also have many housing and transportation problems, and treatment availability is often not what it should be for this group of women. So case management has been shown to produce better outcomes when it's incorporated in substance abuse treatment programs. And case management can be defined as a coordinated approach to delivering health, mental health, substance abuse, and social services. What case management does is it links the client with services to address the client's specific needs and to achieve their particular goals. So what the case managers do are they provide a single point of contact to advocate for what the clients want. And this was particularly important in our study because we looked at the case manager specifically wanted to work on problem areas that the clients felt that they needed the extra help with. So case management in our study was designed to enhance support in six health areas: alcohol use, drug use, general well-being, which includes medical status, legal status, and overall general health, social support, family functioning, and mental health. So what our study protocol entailed was women entering RS Eden Treatment Facility, which is in Minneapolis, for a period of approximately 20 months, were invited to be a part of the study. Those choosing to participate were randomly assigned either to a control group or to a treatment group, and they, of course, signed an informed consent. The control group received the standard 90 to 120-day residential treatment program that they normally would have received. The treatment group also received this same program, but in addition to that, they had weekly meetings with the case manager for 1 year or to the end of the study, and due to funding issues, some of the participants had to end their study at 10 months, but we still included those, so as long as they made it to that point. So we looked at numerous different study or survey instruments, and we had these administered at baseline, at 6 months, and at the final endpoint of the study. And I'm just going to go through some of the instruments that we looked at to assess our findings. What we used to look at alcohol and drug use was the Addiction Severity Index Lite, or ASI Lite. We used that same ASI Lite as well as the SF36 Health Survey to look at general well-being. For social support, we used the Interpersonal Support Evaluation List, or ISEL, SF36 Health Survey again, the ASI Lite, and then the Center for Epidemiological Studies Depression Scale. We also looked at family functioning using the FAPGAR, or the Family Adaptation Partnership, Growth, Affection, and Resolve. And we looked at mental health using, again, the SF36 Health Survey and then the CESD. So in our study, we were able to enroll 70 women in the treatment group and 66 women in the control group. However, we had 45 women drop out or were dropped in the treatment group and 25 in the control group. And our stipulations for dropping the women was in the treatment group, if they had no contact with their case manager for a period of 4 weeks, they were dropped. And in the control group, they were dropped if they were not available for a data collection within 1 month of the planned collection time at the 6 or 12 months. And of course, the women could withdraw from the study at any time. So we had complete data for 41 women in the control group and 25 women in the treatment group. We did do attrition analyses, which showed that there were no significant differences between the control and treatment groups that were dropped or dropped and stayed in the study. And here are some of the sample characteristics of the women that were in our study. Age ranged from 17 to 51 years, mean of 33. Half of our women were black, 27.3% white, and then 13.4% were Native American. As you can see, the vast majority were unemployed, 98.5%. Most of them were either single or widowed at 69.7%. 15.2 were divorced or separated, and 13.6 married or cohabitating. The education of these women ranged anywhere from 7 to 15 years, and as you can see, the mean is less than a high school education at 11.6 years. And 92.4% of the women had children, and they ranged anywhere from one child to up to 12 children. So I'm going to go over some of the findings that we had. And one thing we looked at first was to compare baseline measurements between the treatment and control groups, and we found no significant differences in baseline measurements. So we analyzed the data in three ways using t-test comparisons. One, we looked at baseline to final mean scores within the control group and also baseline to final mean scores within the treatment groups individually, just the control and just the treatment. We also compared final mean scores for the treatment group to final mean scores for the control group. And then thirdly, we compared the change score between baseline and final score between the control and treatment groups. So this particular graph represents a comparison within the control group and within the treatment groups for alcohol and drug use. And the numbers represent the scales used on the survey instruments, so that's mainly for reference. But for this particular measure that we're looking at here, alcohol use and drug use, the blue and the red represents the control baseline to the control final. And as you can see, it did decrease alcohol and drug use. Drug use was significant. And then also for the treatment group, the kind of greenish to purpley, it also decreased for both alcohol and drug use, with drug use being even more significant than amongst the control. So that was a good finding there. When we compared final mean scores, although it wasn't significant, it was approaching significance, and you can see that the treatment final mean is less for drug use than the control final mean. So that was a good indication that our treatment group that was receiving the case management services was faring pretty well. The next thing that we looked at was some general well-being measurements. These two, medical concerns and legal concerns, were two that we found particularly interesting. And just to give you an idea of some of the things that fall under the survey questions that we asked for these medical concerns, we asked, do you have any medical problems that interfere with life? How many times have you experienced medical problems in the past 30 days? And how troubled were you by these medical problems? And then for legal concerns, we inquired about how many times in the past 30 days have you been detained or incarcerated, engaged in illegal activities for profit? How serious do you feel that your legal problems are? And for each of these measures, less is better. So we wanted to see the change go down. And as you can see, that did happen for both the control and the treatment groups. If you look at medical concerns for the control group, it was actually a significant decrease from the blue to the red, baseline to final. And then for legal concerns, it was a significant decrease for both groups within the control and the treatment. So that was a good thing too. And then if we look at that based on just final score means comparing the control to the treatment, again, not quite significant, but approaching significance, you can see that the treatment mean final is less than the control mean. So their concerns for legal problems were decreasing a little bit more amongst the treatment women. The next thing we looked at was social support measures. And these social support measures came from the ISIL, the Interpersonal Support Evaluation List. And the two that were particularly interesting were appraisal and belonging. And just to give you an idea, if you don't know what those involve measuring, appraisal is the perceived ability of someone to talk to about their problems. And then belonging is the perceived availability of people with whom they can do things. So for this particular measure, increasing is actually a good thing. It's an improvement. So as you can see, the increase did occur among both groups, both among the controls and both among the treatment groups, but it increased significantly for the treatment group and for appraisal and for belonging amongst the treatment group. And we also had some very, very good results comparing the final scores between the control and the treatments. So the treatment mean final is significantly better than the control mean final for this. So social support measures actually did very, very well when using the case management services. And here is another one belonging. Again, not quite statistically significant, but still you can see that the treatment mean final is above the control mean final. So it's definitely going in the right direction, and that was a good outcome for us. Another social support measurement that we looked at was family social concerns and interpersonal concerns. And family social concerns involve things such as asking the women if they were having any problems getting along with family members, if they lived with anyone who has a drug or alcohol problem, if they had experienced any abuse in the past 30 days, whether it be physical or sexual, any trouble in the past 30 days with family or social problems, or any serious conflicts with family members or other people. And then interpersonal concerns involved asking if they perceived people to be unfriendly to them and if they felt like people did not like them. And so with these particular measures, actually decreasing is better, so less concerns of these natures. So as you can see, once again, with both groups, amongst the controls going from the blue to the red and the treatments going from the greenish to purple, there is a decrease, which is great, but only amongst the treatment group do we see a statistically significant decrease with both of these particular measurements. So that was a really good finding too. And then when we kind of break that down again, comparing just the final score means between the treatment and the control groups as a whole, we did find a statistically significant difference that the treatment mean was less than the control, so they were doing better. And once again, not quite statistically significant, but again showing that with interpersonal concerns, the same kind of trend that the treatment is less than the control and doing well. The last measure that we looked at was mental health, and we looked at two particular parameters for that, the mental health composite score and the role emotional score. The mental health composite score looks at feelings of nervousness and depression, whereas the role emotional evaluates problems with work or other daily activities as a result of emotional problems. And with this instrument, higher is better. So as you can see, with the mental health composite score, there was a statistically significant increase in the control group and also in the treatment group, although more so in the treatment group. And for the role emotional, there was a statistically significant increase in the treatment group. And one that we were really happy about was the change score that we found. So this looks at the difference of change between baseline and final score, comparing that amongst the controls to that amongst the treatment. And as you can see, we have a significant increase in treatment mean change compared to control mean change for mental health. So that was a really, really good finding that showed that the case management had an impact on the mental health status of these women. So we did have some study limitations. Our sample size was small, although, you know, we were able to retain quite a few women. We did lose quite a few. And of course, all our survey instruments are self-report, so we can't verify that all the information that the women reported to us was 100% accurate. But in conclusion, we know that women in need of substance abuse treatment face multiple barriers and challenges. And just from our study and from previous literature, we know that case management can improve outcomes. And I think, despite our small sample size, the treatment group did show some favorable results compared to the control group in the areas of appraisal, social support, family and social problems, emotional health, and mental health. So I think it was overall a good showing that case management is worth having and does make a difference. So.